Hey, what are we going to do if Halloween's canceled?
Shoot ourselves.
It's crazy because, like, for me, September is my birthday month. So September is my birthday month. Halloween is in October. You have Thanksgiving in November. You have Daisy's birthday in November. Can't skip that. And then I have Christmas in December. And then you have New Year's Eve. And that's like the final stretch for my year. This is my routine every year.
Yeah, you got holiday row.
Yeah, exactly. Holiday row. And all that shit's completely fucked up. And now I don't know what I'm going to do because I was hoping we'd fix shit by summer. But now it looks like my birthday is definitely going to be impacted. And then fucking Halloween. Ugh.
So like March and April, I felt bad for people with birthdays. I'm like, oh, man, you guys are getting kind of robbed. My birthday is mid-May. And by the time that happened, I had really accepted that we're not coming back around. Everybody, you know what? Let's put it this way. March shit hit the fan. So yeah. Everybody's going to be robbed 1 year because I don't see it being fixed by New Year's Eve. So I think this is going to leak into January, February, and March birthdays. As for Halloween, I have an idea.
Oh, this is going to be good. Continue.
Okay, dude. For one year, let's just do a daytime Halloween. Those of us that are comfortable enough, like adult social distance, children can go up at 2 p.m. or say.
Okay. You
know, like knock on the door. Maybe we got to leave the candy out. And, you know, however we figure the best way to social distance it, we do it during the daylight. And then we all have the experience of that 1 year of having had a daytime Halloween. It happens to be on a Saturday. Well, that's the other problem. We get robbed of a Saturday Halloween.
Yeah, yeah. What was it? Taco Tuesday was Cinco de Mayo. Halloween's on a Saturday. I think Christmas is on a Saturday. Dude. Yeah, 2020 was supposed to be fire, not on fire.
You know what, dude? If 2020 was a person, it would be Robin Williams hanging.
Oh, that hurt, man.
That was deep.
That was the first celebrity I cried for.
That might have been my worst thought today.
Yeah, that's up there. You know, I saw a meme where it said, if Halloween is canceled, what we're going to do is allow the kids to be dressed up in their cars and we will stay on our property and we'll throw candy at the car.
Dude, I would love... Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Corn on the cob? Do you remember at the beginning of this? I told you I had Desi hiding in the bushes with the potato gun. Dude, yeah, but you can't expect me to, like, take it serious. Or, like,
those T-shirt guns, but load them up with, like,
fingers? There's going to be... okay, but do we really run the risk? This intro's ran on way too long. I get it. Do we run the risk of losing cars with passenger sides... But you know,
who cares?
Dude, Halloween forever. If you think back the past couple of years, how kids were trick or treating at like 6:37, everything was done by 8, like Halloween has completely fallen off. Don't let it happen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we got to get innovative this year for sure.
Dude, we can't cancel Halloween.
Not on our watch.
No. Over my dead body.
The Social Nuisance Podcast.
Oh shit! Okay, bitches, you guys are gonna be mind blown.
Oh, we're going to Pound Town. They're podcasting.
We're podcasting right now.
Social Nuisance.
Social Nuisance Podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Hello and welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick-in-your-face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name is Imagine, and joining me as always, the man who is stuffing his children into bushes to scare the living daylights out of his neighbors, Motion.
Yay, yay!
How you doing, man?
Let's get that energy up, man. Energy up. Keep it together. 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 I got really good at that.
That was a great drum roll. That was nice.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that was impressive.
As far as stuffing kids into bushes, you got to stuff them into something.
You can't stuff them back into their mother, so I guess the bushes will do.
I've tried.
One bush for another.
Yep. And we got hella bushes at my pad. We got bushes galore.
How are things, Ben? How's your week?
I think it was a regular week. You ever get gayer the more you can't find something?
No.
When I can't find something, I'm like, I swear to God, I left it right here. Why isn't it in this cabinet? That's what just happened to me right now with that. My Beautiful. Week was chill, man. My week's been chill. Like, yeah, you know, just.
No news is good news.
Yeah, same old. Dude, in my fucking life, ain't that the truth, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I would feel agree. Like
when people look down at their phone and it's my name, they just go, oh.
Oh, no.
And then they answer, like, or they open the text and it's like, hey, do you think animals without butt cracks get jealous of animals with butt cracks? And they're like, okay, he's fine.
Yeah. Same old.
What about you, brother? How's your week, man?
Things are okay, I guess. A little bit of cabin fever starting to settle in. I just feel like feel a lot of pressure with COVID and just the continued, you know, stress of it all, I suppose. The one thing that has been kind of like keeping me going is my rededication to education.
Yeah, dude, so, I've seen that.
Yeah, so today, as a matter of fact, I finished another certification. So my theory is that while I don't have a big bachelor degree, or what's it called? Yeah, bachelor's degree, master's. I'm still working on my associates, but I don't have that, right? So I'm trying to stay competitive in the job market. So my theory is, what can I do in the meantime? And I've come across this website that offers Ivy League schools that provide free courses. So you can find what's applicable to your career, really. Yeah, so for me, it's in the tourism travel industry. So I've been taking a lot of certifications regarding the tourism and travel industry. That's my daytime job. And I finished one today from the University of Queensland in Australia.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Did you have to start the other way?
Yeah, I had to start counterclockwise.
That's fucking rad, man. Yeah.
Counterclockwise? We started at the end and worked our way back.
Yeah, dude, that's dope, man.
Yeah, so my theory is that I'm going to do a whole bunch of these certifications while I'm waiting to complete my associate's degree. And that way my resume will stand out with like, oh, he's got a certification from Harvard. He's got a certification from the Queensland University. He's got a certification from Yale. Did I go to Yale? Not really, but I got name recognition on the resume. That's got to count for something. That's got to pique their interest for a job interview.
I mean, not only that, dude, but realistically, they're going to check the dates and know that was during the COVID era. And they're going to know, they're going to cross-reference you with other people who just had unemployment during those dates. Like, you're bettering yourself during this weird fucking time, the strange time we live in, you know? I love it, dude. Like, I've seen you posting about it. And truth be told, dude, like, your victories, like, feel like victories to me. When my wife graduated, because I was so invested in her graduating, much less investing, like, I don't have any real investment in, like, it's none of my capital. But, like, when your guys' victories, when it comes to something like that, they affect the people around you. Like, they're victories for all of us, dude. Yeah. Every time you get some sort of accomplishment like that, like, those of us that love you, which is a pretty big fucking number, we feel that. Like, don't stop sharing that. Like, I love that you post that. Like, when I see it makes me feel great. Like, I'd be having a regular ass day. My weeks are so much so that, like, I'm still working just enough that my days off, I enjoy my rest, and I'm not really growing myself in this time. And to see people like you really taking advantage of these downtimes to fucking invest in yourself is super rad, man. I fucking love it. I love those things, dude. That really...
Thanks, man.
You make my day.
I'm trying to stay productive because, yeah, I was affected with the numerous millions upon millions of people who are unemployed due to COVID. I'm included in that. And so I'm like stay-at-home dad, producer, podcaster, still rapping, and now continuing my education. I don't like being bored. I just can't do it. What's it called? Bored minds, idle hands.
Idle hands are the devil's tool.
There you go. And it's all bad, dude. I got to keep doing something And I usually find myself stretched way too thin, but I'd rather be stretched way too thin than just fucking sitting there twiddling my thumbs.
Then short and chunky, right?
Absolutely.
You don't need height when you got length. You know what I mean?
That's only relevant to the boys. And there's one person who has no idea what that's like. And this is a particular dad. And coming from two dads on this podcast, we're going to talk about this dad who stormed out of a reveal party after learning the gender of his unborn baby.
Of his own? Not even like a grandpa?
Not of his own. Have you heard whispers of this?
No, it was a gender reveal. It wasn't a DNA reveal, right?
No, it was gender reveal.
Oh, my God. So tell me
this. That's funny. It wasn't a DNA reveal. No, it was a gender reveal.
If it was Maury, like, you are not the father. Living my best life! You know what I mean? I have that song. I get that. But so, all right, dude, give me the deets.
There was a 33-year-old dude who already has a 5-year-old daughter, and he went on Reddit, and he is saying, am I the asshole in this situation? He's trying to seek advice after he pissed off his 34-year-old wife, his in-laws, and pretty much everyone else at the party and now on Reddit. Because what he did was he found out the reveal gender, which was another girl, and he currently has a girl. And he got pissed off and couldn't believe it and stormed out. So he said, I know my daughter's only 5, but I've already started to deal with the dramas of being a father of a girl. And the thought of having to double up now on all that bullshit was harrowing. My wife grabbed my arm as people were approaching us to say their congratulations. And she said I needed to look happier. At that moment, I just snapped. I shook my head and walked out to my car. We came separately and drove to my sister's house.
You know what? Hats off to him for doing his best to try to use language and, you know, consideration and just a thought out response to the absolute piece of shit fucking act or display that he put on previous to that. There is no fucking justifying what petty little fucking dipshit you are for the way you behave. Like, I really wish that someone was there to witness how he was when he learned about the pregnancy.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? But and the fact that his wife must have known, because I'm sure he's spoke about this. This wasn't like this can be a surprise. And to hold his arm firm.
That he acted that way?
Well, just that his response was going to be that way had it not gone his way. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And the fact that this dude is going to be raising 2 young women. Like, you know what? Strike me down, Lord, if I'm wrong. But I hope to God these little kids are ugly as fuck. Because if he raises 2 attractive young women and they think that that's what a quality man is, those are going to be some mean, mean heartbreakers, dude.
Yeah, there's going to be some new additions to the daddy issues.
This is why, like, when I meet genuinely good people, I tell them that they need to have children. Because there are there are people like this dipshit, 2 kids in.
Oh, yeah.
Populating the world, you know what I mean?
Yeah, stop procreating.
So when I meet like good people and they're just like, I don't know if the world is the world that I want to raise children. I'm like, dude, you're absolutely fucking right. But we need you. Team good people, we fucking need you, dude.
We need you. Get in the game. Come on.
Team Uber driver and Grubhub is killing us right now with the bad people. Like, what a fucking terrible, terrible display, dude. I'm sure, I know people have children not of the sex that they want.
Sure.
But are there people that, like, have things that they don't want? Like, it's one thing to not get what you want, but to end up with something you specifically didn't want, like how gross, right? When you're like, I could have wanted a son and then not got a son, but I definitely didn't not want a healthy child.
Right.
You know what I mean? What a fucking, do we got this guy's like name or location or if dude, liberals, if you're gonna dox anybody, can you guys dox fuckers like this?
Yeah, please use your doxing powers. Yeah, it just kind of, it blew me back because I came across this article. I was like, what? I can't believe this. Because, you know, when I was looking towards my firstborn, you know, and he's a boy, and I didn't know his sex, right? So for those who are barely tuning in right now, during the whole pregnancy with my wife, We did not know the gender of the baby, not until the moment that they were born.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, well, do you really want a boy? Do you want a girl? I was like, I really don't care because my kids are going to love dinosaurs, spaceships, and nerdy shit. So I don't fucking care what it is. But, you know, in the back of my mind, I wanted a boy. And the reason being is because I think boys are easier to raise in today's society, societal norms. I mean, I have experience in being a boy, so I can raise a boy. It just made more sense. It was like level easy, level beginner for me for having my firstborn. So it was nice. Okay, I got a boy. Fantastic. That worked out. Shortly learned thereafter, it doesn't fucking matter what gender they are because it's still fucking difficult. But nevertheless, you know, regardless if it was a boy or girl, we would still be doing all the shit that I would want to do. I mean, if our second kid is a girl, cool. They're still going to love dinosaurs, spaceship, and nerdy shit. It's just what they're going to be. That's just how our family is going to roll. And if they don't like that kind of shit, that's cool too. I just don't understand how you could be upset with anything other than the fact that you're having your child, your baby, regardless of anything, you know,
right.
Fucking health issues, gender, sexual orientation, faith, whatever the fuck. It's still your kid. You love your kid regardless. I just don't understand where this guy is coming from at all. And I wish he would stop fucking. Not even get like, what the fuck is it called? The snip snip?
Yeah, like fixed? Vasectomy.
Yeah. I don't even want him to get that. I just want him to stop fucking because he doesn't deserve it.
I want him to get that and then the doctor be a piece of shit and find out he was having a daughter instead of a son while doing the vasectomy and then go, and slip and cut it all the way off.
I mean, opposed.
Like, truth be told, like, admittedly, I wanted a son, but I wanted a son because I was the last male with my last name and I wanted to carry on my last name. And
yeah, that's important to me too.
You know, I didn't want to have like a metric fuckloads of kids to do it. So I wanted a son to bestow upon him that fucking weight. You're not like, I'm done. Now it's on you, boy. Because there's no other male stray hands. And I like, it's so weird, right? Is that primal? That's almost the most shallow. Like, I just wanted to carry on my name. No. I genuinely did.
I'm the same way, dude. Same way.
Like, so, but other than that, like, I would have not really mattered beyond that. Like, it wouldn't, other than that I was going to carry on a name or not. Like, I think that the benefits of having a daughter for someone like me are immeasurable. But, you know, like, I was blessed. I was truly blessed. I'm still blessed with my son. Everybody talks about what a good dad I am. And it's really, like, the bottom line is I have an incredible son. He doesn't test me. Like, it's really easy to be a good parent to a good child. You know, like, I would say that it's easy to raise a kid regardless of the sex as long as they're dumber than you. And that's why my father had such a hard time with me.
Because you're a fucking genius.
That's this show's box burn. Hustle burn.
I can relate. I think my dad would feel the same way. Like, oh, he is too fucking smart. I don't like it. You need to dumb it down.
But at the end of the day, like, universally, you want a healthy child.
Yeah, dude. 10 fingers, 10 toes. We're good. That's all. It's all that matters, man. And when I got that clean bill of health and the baby was born, they did all the checkups and everything, and everything was good. I was just like, a sigh of relief, but then a sigh of like, oh shit, here we go.
Did you see the viral video of the dude giving his fiance or whatever the genetic test of their daughter and it basically saying that he wasn't the father?
Oh no.
Yeah, it was like the kids, it was the little girl's third birthday and the mom is sitting there like, you know, whatever, doing mom stuff in the kitchen. And he goes, oh, here, he gives her a gift. And he puts it in like three boxes. So she has to open, 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 open. And then when she finally gets to it, it's the paper. It's the genetic test or DNA test that gentleman who's been raising this kid for 3 years is not the dad of that little girl.
Was the little girl present?
No. The little girl wasn't. But it was her birthday by what the mom said. Like, why would you give me this on her birthday? But the little girl wasn't there. And it's just like she's saying like, you're terrible for doing this to me on this day, but like, she's she's the bad person. She knew she cheated. She knew there was a possibility that right? Like, and then to keep all that from someone, like,
yeah, it sounds like all kinds of fuckery related to that. I mean, I don't know about, I mean, I've seen people do like they give bad news or they try to catch people by making a big old, you know, a big old scene.
Yeah, no one else was there. It was just the two of them. But yeah,
well, even that he recorded it.
Yeah. Well, I would have too, because I think she would have tried to kill.
Oh, that's true. You didn't have video evidence. Make sure you're in the clear.
I don't like when people are like in the wrong and then the person who busts them out for it almost in any manner get put in the wrong for busting them.
Yeah. I agree for that. Totally. Yeah. And this is the kind of shit that we go through as 30 somethings, but I recently came across another article that kind of articulated a lot of questions about being in our mid 30s. And the question being, why haven't we achieved what my parents achieved at my age? And I was like, okay, I'm curious, because you know, I'm a 30 something. I'm kind of curious as to how they're articulating the difference between the two generations and why it is that we can't do what they're doing, or why we're not on the same level, so on and so forth. And I started reading it, and it provided a particular bias of like, well, you're not achieving what they were doing when they were 30. Okay. But here are some ways to create a new definition of financial adulthood to replace those old things that you used to do, you know, like have a steady job, steady income, buy a house, get married, have kids, and the ability to have the financial freedom to accomplish those things. But since we can't do that no more, here are some ways to replace that. So I wanted to share these top line suggestions with you and see how you feel about them.
All right.
First suggestion.
Let me react to them one at a time. So lob them to me and let me go.
Yeah.
All right. Number one,
share your financial struggles with others. That way you don't feel so alone with like, oh, I've got really crushing credit card debt. But if you tell that to your friends and your friends are like, oh, I got crushing credit card debt too. Oh, we both do? Oh, then it's not that bad then.
Okay. One, the reason for doing that they've given is fucking terrible. When you said share your debt, I thought what they meant or share the struggle was like, basically you're going to rent a room in a house with three other motherfuckers that rent rooms too. You know what I mean? Like you're going to share this, but sharing bad news with other people who have the same bad news doesn't progress any of you guys at all. Like that's, you know, like I believe you're the average of your five closest friends. If all five of them are struggling with credit debt, you probably need at least two more new friends. Like that's
check the math.
Yeah, like, I mean, I get like that it might be emotionally soothing to find out that your friends are also in this bad position, but that doesn't change the position.
I agree. And I agree with the social sympathy aspect of it, because I always tell people like, yeah, you know, I filed for bankruptcy back in 2015. I had struggles with my credit score and so on. But when I shared that information with people, I also shared how I was recovering from it, how I was building from it. So it's not like, oh, I suck. Oh, you suck. Cool. Then, you know, sucking's not that bad. Clearly, if everyone's sucking, then whatever.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to share my struggles so that way I can also share my recovery and my redemption with people. But I feel the same way as you. Like if everyone's just talking about how much we suck together, then it's not as bad if everyone sucks. If, you know, if I suck the same way, no, that doesn't help anything at all.
That doesn't make
Okay. Number two, accept help without shame. So if you have to be put in a position where you have to accept help, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to accept help, and you don't have to feel bad about it. A good example is my current situation. I am living with my in-laws because we're saving up to buy a house. So it's helpful. I definitely feel, you know, shameful about it, but I accept the fact that it's going to help in the long run. So I kind of accept the fact that I accept the help without the shame. Or at least I try not to shame myself.
Yeah. Two things on that. Like one, you should definitely accept help. Actually three things. When you need, actually, even when you don't need it, like if you don't need help, don't seek it. That's rude. But if someone offers help, you know, like you should definitely accept it. Like there's nothing wrong with that. Two was you said that you like might have feelings of shame or that you should accept this help without shame, shame is a useless emotion. Shame changes nothing. If you feel shame for something that you did, you can't go back and change what you did.
True.
What you really should be embracing is the guilt for what you did and make the behavioral adjustments so that you don't ever feel that guilt again. But true. Shame is like what I would call like, or what that chick MMA fighter turned Ronda Rousey, she would say like a do nothing bitches. That's what shame is of the emotions. It, you know what I mean? It doesn't do nothing. If you feel guilt, guilt will make the behavioral adjustments so you don't run into that again.
Yep.
If you feel regret, you should definitely reflect on what caused that regret and then make those adjustments. But as far as accepting help and feeling shame for it, that's ridiculous. I definitely do think that anybody who's been offered help should accept it. And if you're in a position where you need it, you should seek it out. As long as when someone can't help, you don't meet that rejection with negativity.
Yeah. Number three, leverage your education. So, you know, there's a healthy statistic that a number of millennials and soon to be Gen Zers are going to have a higher education. They're going to have their bachelor degrees. They're going to have their master degrees. Definitely because some are going to have their doctorates. And you should be able to leverage that education in comparison to someone who doesn't have that education, whether it be someone in the boomer generation or even your equivalent generation. You have an education that others don't. You should utilize it to your advantage.
I would say you should leverage your knowledge. I am a firm believer of seizing the moment in an interview. I actually saw a statistic that said like X percentage of men will apply for a job with 60% of the qualifications. And it was a high number. And then X percent of women will apply for a job with 85% of qualifications. That was a much lower number. There's no room for progress. What you got to go in there, you got to go. What you got to do to progress with your life is leverage whatever it is that you have. So your education might not be a degree as mine isn't, but your knowledge is extraordinary. And in this day and age of the internet and YouTube and access to unlimited fucking tools, you know, techniques or whatever it is to advance at what you need, we all have it now. The thing is, a Harvard degree is to be a Harvard degree because the only way you can get that knowledge was by going to fucking Harvard.
Right.
Now you can look up what all of us have access to and you can learn without having to be on campus. So I would say leverage your knowledge. Go in there and talk about what you know, what you could know, or most importantly, the ability to know stuff that you could learn their way in, at a dime's notice. I once went into an interview and the guy was like, man, you know everything. You know how to take care of my fish? And I was like, he had a fish thing in his office. I was like, what kind of fish is it? He's like, it's this fish. Right there in front of him, Googled it, blah, blah. Well, it eats this, it needs the water temperature of this, and I could take care of your fish. Got the job on the spot.
Nice.
Probably beat out people with degrees.
I think that's one of the things that kind of upsets me about leveraging your education is that what really – I hate the fact that degrees are so coveted because any fucking idiot can get a degree, and that's the fucking truth.
Well, I've
seen a lot of people – who are dumb as doornails get fucking degrees.
Go ahead. Sorry. Finish your point.
Well, yes, you did go to school. Yes, you were able to complete difficult curriculum. You were able to regurgitate information on a test that equated to getting a degree. Now, does that mean you're capable of thinking on your feet? Does that mean you're capable of empathizing with your customer, guest, whomever? Not so much. There's a number of things that, as you said, street knowledge or just regular knowledge, common sense knowledge is just as valuable. And the ability to apply that and to illustrate that you can apply that should be just as valuable, if not more valuable as these degrees. And to simply say, oh, you could just leverage your education. Yeah, but at what cost? You know, a lot of people got these bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, what have you. They went to college and now they're suffering under crushing student debt. And now they're just competing against the other moron who has a bachelor's degree. And it just doesn't seem like it's as valuable as people make it out to be. And that's what's so frustrating for me.
I will assure you that whoever wrote this article has a degree and that's why they put that there. But
that's true.
You're absolutely right. The when I interview someone, the only weight that having a degree really carries to me is that I know how hard you work to get that degree because I don't have one. So I know you took the steps. You showed up to class. You struggled here. You did the work. So I feel like if you have a degree, whether or not you can think on your toes, I can rely. There's a you're used to knowing you got to put shit in to get a result. So
that's true.
But outside of that, I'm fully, fully accepting of the fact that someone without that degree could outsmart you in any conversation. Because guess what? I'm that dude.
You're talking to both of them right now. Number four.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's it. Number four. That's why we don't have degrees. That was number four. Number five.
Oh.
Number five. Pay off your debt. No shit.
Wait. That threw me off. What was this list again?
Here are some ways to create a new definition of financial adulthood. Pay off your debt. So when they're talking about pay off your debt, they're saying take significant steps to not just pay the minimum payment each month and actually strive to pay off your debt, whether it be credit card debt, student loan debt, mortgage, rent, what have you, whatever it may be. Make a deliberate effort to go beyond just playing the minimum.
Part of becoming an adult, I shit you not, this is what my father told me one time. Part of becoming an adult is accepting the fact that most of the money you make is not your money. Okay? Part of becoming an adult is to realize that you will incur debts that you will never pay off, such as a mortgage. The reason it's a 30-year loan is, one, to make it affordable, but two, you will not pay that fucking house off. There are very few authentic homeowners who pay it off. And guess what? The government punishes you for paying your house off. You get to write off all the interest on your mortgage loan. It behooves you to owe $50,000 on your property because you can write off that interest. Once you drop that, you're not writing that interest off anymore and you're paying property tax. It does not make sense to be debt-free in this country whatsoever. Like, and you, the sooner you realize that, the more of an adult you'll be at a quicker time.
I agree. I think there's a certain amount of knowledge that comes along with knowing how the game works. And I think property tax is definitely one of those aspects of knowing how to play the game.
Yeah, no, it is ridiculous to think that I live debt-free, but I have credit cards. I don't have rad-ass $20,000 credit cards like, some of my friends and family do, but I have no urge to own property right now, like especially not in the state that I live in.
Sure.
I'm not of that mind state. Like I guess I'm still old school in the sense that the American dream to me is a chicken in every pot, not like a home, like how it became in the 60s. But my problem with this article as a whole, I had it in my head the whole fucking time.
I'm gonna get to what my biggest takeaway with the article.
All right, well, you do that while I ponder.
Okay, number six, save for big goals. And this is like save for like your trips, save for the house purchase, save for retirement. It's been said numerous times and in numerous aspects of research that the current generation is not saving. They just don't do it. They get it, they spend it, and so on and so forth. And to an extent, it's true. But what leads me to my next point is the summarizing of the whole article as a whole. And my biggest takeaway of the article was like, okay, here are some new financial markers of what it means to be an adult. And there's no conversation of how to elevate your ability to engage with the government to determine how you navigate these financial struggles. Nowhere is it says that you can, talk to your congressional representative to talk about taxes. There's no way to talk about income equality. There's no way to talk about how corporations are using all kinds of tax breaks while the income tax is astronomically high in comparison. They're just telling you, say like, well, this is kind of how the world is now. So here are some ways to cope with it. There's no way to fix it. but here's how you cope with it. Accept your reality. Accept that you are totally fucked. And it's going to be okay if you just follow these steps. And that was my big takeaway. It's like, there's no pathway to fix any of this. This is all just saying, this is just how you put a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage. Like, it just pissed me off. And that's what my main takeaway for this article was, like, you're not really trying to help 30-somethings. You're just trying to tell them, well, you're fucked. Well, this is how you're going to feel better about it. Just follow these steps.
Yeah, by talking to other people who are fucked, as in step two. No, you know, what we need to address in this article, and that's what I had in mind before I lost it, was the insane growth of the destruction of middle class. Yep. The reason we don't have what our parents had is because $35,000 isn't what the fuck it used to be. Somehow, people found a way to make our dollar worth less while increasing the cost of property. Inflation and the cost of the rise in property costs, they don't even correlate. Like, they both go up astronomically, essentially just fucking us. The only way I see, like, a way out in California is inheritance. Like, is to hope that your parents left you enough that you too can own property, or that they didn't refinance the fuck out of their property so that when they do pass, you can never even fucking afford that. But in all actuality, it's that generation that fucked us to begin with. So what do we expect them to leave us? You know what I mean? Yeah. Everybody I know who is, say, not baby boomer, but, oh, Gen X.
Gen X, yeah.
Their parents put down some sort of deposit on the life that they enjoy now. Whether it be a deposit on a house, whether it was we bought you guys cars, whether it was we floated you $10,000 when you got, whatever it was. But the rest of us that literally have nothing, it's like there's no way out. Like, you can't blame us for being outrageous, for living in the moment, for playing the lottery, for, you know, for self-medicating. You can't blame us for the way that we live our lives when we were built to be peons. We were built to be ogres. We were built to move shit from A to B. And in a place like Los Angeles, where the whole world comes, like 90% of the people that come to LA, they come with capital, ready to do work. And then there are 10% dreamers, you know, that play guitars in cafes and serve food during the day and really hope to make it. But there's also 13 million of us that grew up here.
Yep.
And we won't ever own shit in this place.
Yeah, I was thinking about that as I was driving around, and I saw like some really nice houses. You know, I'm in the housing market right now, kind of keeping my ear to the ground. And I see these houses that are like not within what I could afford. But I'm just thinking, like, man, like, you know, some of these big ass properties in these nice areas, they're partly have to do with just generational wealth. You know, the money gets handed down, the property gets handed down. And that's the goal, is to establish generational wealth. And especially being, you know, of minority blood, it's a bit more difficult to do, to establish in a system that's not wanting you to do that.
Well, when people try to tell me like systemic racism doesn't exist, when you look back at the way that acquiring property was withheld primarily from the black, you know, the black segment of our civilization, but from other minorities as well, it's not just that they weren't allowed to buy property. It's that they weren't allowed to acquire $100,000 equity in one generation.
Ah.
What does that $100,000 do? Now, if you refi your house and you take out $100,000 cash, you got capital to start a business. You got capital to buy rental properties. You got capital to play with. So when you say like, well, my family wasn't rich. No, but you had property that literally would not finance a black family. You were able to start the process of generational wealth. That is the systemic racism that people are talking about. The Jim Crow laws, you know, that like, we're not going to give property to minorities in this area. And if we do, we're going to go in and we're going to tank the property value first. We're going to have all the families move out and then tank the property value, and then they're going to end up upside down. The subprime loans of the early 2000s that all of a sudden all these minorities could afford, they weren't even charging them the minimum payment. So when they bought a house for $300,000 and they said, you could buy this house for $300,000 and your minimum payment is $1,500, they were charging them $1,500, but in actuality, the minimum payment was $1,800. So what they did was they tacked the $300 difference on every fucking month. So your debt went from $300,000 to $300,000, $300, $300,000 to $600 every month. that's the systemic racism that has destroyed the ability for minorities in this country to obtain generational wealth.
And ultimately destroys the middle class.
And in doing so, exactly, it destroyed the middle class as a whole, because guess what? We're not perpetuators of this racism. We've decided as our, we're going to suffer together, and we're suffering, you know? And thank fuck, dude, I can't, I'm sorry to go off on a tangent, but I feel fucking great about the changes that this country is facing. Hearing about the BLM movement and its leaders and how extreme the leaders could be, the fact that I can turn on sports today and see BLM everywhere, dude, that's fucking enriching.
Yeah.
Like, I love that we're in that place now. Again, I'm sorry I went off on a tangent.
That's not a tangent. Actually goes into our next topic with regards to BLM. Everyone's talking about the virtue signaling with the murals being painted on the street, right? You've seen those giant Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
So there was a mural painted in Tulsa, Oklahoma, right before Trump's rally.
Okay.
So just recently, the Tulsa City Council decided to remove that mural located in the Greenwood District after the mural was not granted city approval.
Okay.
So they determined, okay, they have this giant ass mural, they put it down. But then some rumbling started to occur about its validity in being able to be there. Okay. According to a newspaper out there, the chairman of the Tulsa County Republican Party, Bob Jack, as if that's not Republican enough, Bob Jack sent a request to the city councilor and mayor about the process to create a pro-police Back the Blue mural in solidarity of the city's police department. Okay. So once they did that, they're like, oh, well, you know what? We can't actually have murals on the street unless they have a permit. And then it came to light, well, the Black Lives Matter mural doesn't have a permit. So like, oh, well, we got to take it down.
Okay.
So I think a lot of people will be like, oh, they're taking down the Black Lives mural, the Black Lives Matter mural in the street because, you know, there's a, somebody wanted to put a pro-police painting out there, and we should be upset. I'm actually like, no, that's cool, man. Take it down. Yeah.
You know what? You know what my answer is? We don't fucking want any free ones. We don't want any free ones. Don't let them say they did us any fucking favors. If that shit wasn't done right, clean it up, get it off. We got BLM fucking murals in New York City, in Los Angeles, in St. Louis, in Atlanta, in Dallas. If you want to fucking be behind, if you want to be on the wrong side of history, go for it. But we don't want no fucking favors. We don't want nothing for free. If it was done wrong, clean it up. Don't fucking let that blue line one go on. But if it's against the rules, like, I don't want nothing to taint this.
I agree. And that's why I'm in favor of just removing the mural. And it comes down to even playing field. So if Black Lives Matter gets the ability to put up their mural, I think that the Back the Blue mural should also go up. That's if the city council approves it. But as right now, the Tulsa City Council is saying there should be no paintings on the street unless it's for safety purposes. So I'm like, okay, I can get behind that. And because they're sticking to
standard.
Yeah. Standard. Thank you. Yeah. Because they're sticking to that standard. They're deciding, okay, no to the police mural and no to the BLM mural.
No,
I'm over here like, that's cool. Just keep it fair. As long as you're playing fair and everyone's playing by the same rules, I'm totally in favor of it.
Now look, you said Tulsa, Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
There's a few things to consider. Let's start with history. You ever heard of Black Wall Street?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's where a lot of the conversation about Black Wall Street came during the Tulsa rally in Tulsa was going to – fuck. The Trump campaign was going to have their rally, their return rally back in July, whatever the fuck it was. And when they were going to do that, a lot of the talk about – it was June 19th. So Juneteenth was occurring Tulsa. And there was a lot of talk about Black Wall Street. But for those of you who don't know a Black Wall Street motion, please enlighten us.
So what Black Wall Street was essentially when after World War II, I'm sorry, after slavery ended, they literally released slaves and they had nowhere to go, nothing to do. those that couldn't make it up north felt the need to develop a Black-owned business community where you could shop Black, you could buy Black, you could support Black business. And guess what? One happened to fucking take off. One happened to do well. And there was a community of, you know, flagrant racists that could not stand to see these successes, could not stand to see this wealth be developed. And what they did was, it was called Black Wall Street. And if I'm not mistaken, it was Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Correct.
They went in, it started over a false rape. I can't remember the exact. It started with one particular person. And what would happen was there were these lynch mobs of KKK, more or less, members that would go out and lynch African-Americans, Black Americans, for trumped up false fucking faux charges.
Right.
And at some point, there was a response group of Black men that would show up and offer protection. And these two groups clashed at one point, and with government support, they went in and destroyed Black Wall Street, which was, you know, it was Chicago. Chicago was Wall Street for farmers. That's what it was. It was trade for livestock and crop. It was Wall Street, but for, you know, perishable goods. Black Wall Street was its own setup, and it got destroyed and burnt down, and it never recouped. Now, this same city is saying, to be fair, we can't put murals. What? Like, maybe we owe them one. You know what I mean?
in that regard, definitely have a point. But I can appreciate the fact that if they're going to set a standard and stick to the standard, I'm cool with that.
And I'm not here to speak to Bob Jack. Is that his name?
Yeah.
To his intentions. I don't know that he knew that this would get that removed. I don't know if that was his motivation. I'm not going to speak to his intention, but as long, like I said, as it is what it is, we don't want any fucking free ones, dude. We don't want you to do us any fucking favors. We're going to win this shit on our own. There's going to be racial equality. There's not going to be the end of racism. Get real, dude. Every fucking race has its own racism. But there will be racial equality, and it's going to happen fucking quick. And guess what? There will be consequences for enforcers of systemic racism. Yeah. That's the big thing.
Yeah, and it kind of reminded me of keeping a level playing field with the discussion about separation of church and state. So I know that there's a number of state courts, federal courts, what have you. I think it's usually state courts, like these courthouses that have like the Ten Commandments, like a statue of which located up front, or there's stuff like that. And I remember a story way back when where the Satan Church, the Satanic Church temple, they wanted to put out the giant goat head figure.
Yeah.
And they wanted to put it out on the state grounds, and they were like, no, we can't have that. That's blasphemous and all kinds of shit. And I was like, well, it's level. It's a, if you can have, you know, Christianity figurines, then I guess I'm cool with having, you know, the satanic one there.
Well, let's be honest.
The alternative is remove both of them.
Yeah. And that's Christianity too. It's, you know, like the only people who believe in the devil in that form are Christians. So.
Yep.
You know,
It reminded me of how we should be keeping a level playing field, not showing preferential treatment to one movement or the other. And I thought it was nice to see that type of equality and standards, well, in treatment of standards.
I want to know the motivation. I want to know the intention. And then two, I want to know, like, it's up to that community. If there's a Christian community that wants to put up, you know, a statue of whatever religious icon they have, majority rules. But if it's, you know, in the laws that we can't have religious icons, I totally see what this group did. You know, it was spite.
Yeah.
You know,
to prove a point. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, let's be realistic with all the Southern statues. The intention was during civil rights to remind civil rights leaders to strike fear. You know, that's why all these Southern statues didn't go up after World War, or after. Why don't you cite World War One?
I don't know. It sounds like a good time, I suppose. Right? 1917, Spanish flu.
You're like, hey, how's your mother? I'm like, dude, during World War One, I don't know what the fuck. During Civil War, these statues didn't go up. They went up during the Civil Rights Movement to strike fear into civil rights leaders. If that's the intention, get fucking rid of them, dude.
Yeah. Totally agree. And adding to the list of things we should be getting rid of, I'm going to add Daniel Ek to that list. You know who Daniel Ek is?
No, but I'm going to fucking, I'm just going to side with you.
Sure. Daniel Ek is the CEO of Spotify.
Oh, okay. Well, now I want to hear it. What's up? What do you do wrong?
So he's been quoted as saying that he's blaming musicians for their lack of earnings. So musicians are saying, hey, man, Spotify don't pay a shit. It's really hard to make money on Spotify. And your entire platform is off the backs of musicians, but the musicians aren't getting paid shit. So the Spotify boss, otherwise known as Daniel Ek, blamed the musicians. He said, as quoted, you can't record music once every 3 to 4 years and think that's going to be enough to make money on Spotify. And as a musical artist myself, fuck you, sir. So many artists recently have got behind the hashtag Broken Record campaign, and that was established and led by a former music director, which calls for changes to music streaming that will benefit musicians. And on that target list is Spotify, because they don't pay their musicians shit. And a good example of this was Tasmin Little. She's a violinist, and recently she highlighted her Spotify earnings from past recordings in a tweet. And over 6 months, she had 5 to 6 million streams. How much money do you think she made?
I would say, what's 1 million times 0.02? Like 20, I say she made $60.
She made £12.34.
I don't even know what that is. If we had a point,
I think that's roughly like around $16-17.
Yeah, I think it's pretty close to a dollar. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. And she said that these recordings were made in the early 90s when streaming wasn't invented, but they're being applied to Spotify. And she's still not making money in comparison to 5-6 million, you know, singles being sold or radio play. You would not make just £12. You'd make significantly more than that. And I totally agree. It's incredibly difficult to make money off these radio streaming services.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they, I don't like anybody who makes money off content when they're not content creators. It like, if Spotify was a podcast and they created podcasts, but they use, say we were a music criticism podcast and we use other content to create our content. That's one thing. Like that, to me, you're still creating content. But if you're only show, like, using other people's content to get subscribers or to get people to pay you, I think like you should be generous in what it is that you pay. Now, this has been an argument that's come to light over the past couple of years. I believe Tadoff Swindler took herself off Spotify because of how little they pay, and a couple other bands. But the reason I think that this is such a thing now is because performers are not allowed to perform. Over the past few years, we've accepted the fact that you can no longer sell music. But we're hoping these streaming services allow us to sell tickets. We
tickets
can't,
to what?
To our shows. Say, you know, if Spotify plays this young lady's music in Georgia and she's from Europe, hopefully if she goes to Georgia, she can sell some tickets because people heard her on Spotify.
Sure.
But we can't perform because of COVID.
Well, I mean, just like if you're making money off radio airplay, shouldn't that be applicable? I mean, just because there's less, you know, maybe there's less commercials or less ads or what have you. Like you said, it's still a platform that's making money off someone else's creativity.
The thing is, though, that these direct streaming services were more friendly to independent artists, because as an independent artist, you're not going to get yourself broadcast. You got to be record label, and then the record label and the radio, they have a deal and they scratch each other's back. So I get making less through these streaming services, but streaming's probably at an all-time high right now, right? With most people being home, and like, you got to take care of the artist. If the artist isn't making money, you lose the content that you use to get your subscribers.
Yep.
I know that this is becoming a fuse lit on a bomb, because there's no one selling tickets right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, the reality is, no one's going to sell music ever again.
Yeah, as of right now, as a musical artist myself, I kind of envision Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, all these platforms. They're less making money platforms, but more exposure. Marketing. Yeah, it's definitely marketing. I want to be exposed to more listeners so they tune in and then learn about me and become a fan of my brand and then purchase all my other shit. But I don't count on the streams. But that doesn't mean that I don't want, you know, a healthy compensation for the music that I provide to these platforms.
Absolutely. And on top of it, to act like, you know, what I think it is, too, is Spotify is going to start to venture away with them signing these huge podcast deals with Joe Rogan, Kim Kardashian, doing other things. They're going to try to become a network of audio. And so, like, I really don't think right now that they're going to hear anybody when it comes to just, you know, art of the ear. Bands, yeah. Musicians, singers. But, you know, like, you got to accept the changes in time. You're not selling art no more. We're not going to sell audio. You got to sell tickets. The problem is you guys are stopping us from performing. Not you guys. You know, we can't perform.
Yeah, so totally agree. Totally agree.
What good does it do for you to suicide the artist?
So we're towards the end of the show. Before we take off, we want to get to some you know what. Do you have a couple?
We had so much fun.
Do you have 2, 3, 5, 7? What do you got?
I got a you know what.
Oh, man. Kick us off. Go ahead.
You know what?
What?
I am fucking sick and tired of basketball players 2 weeks into the season talking about how fucking bored they are because they only have a lake to go fishing in, a pool to go swimming, pool table, roller coasters. You're at work! You're at fucking work! You gotta play basketball in a bubble for a couple weeks. Shut the fuck up! Like, we're gonna make millions. Oh, we only got a lake to go fishing in that the NBA stuffed full of fucking fish, so your Instagram looks dope when you catch a retarded half-bred fish. Shut the fuck up and stop sharing hookers. That's how you guys are getting COVID.
That was one of the best you know what's I've ever heard, man. That's funny.
Thanks!
Okay, here we go. Hey, you know what?
What's that, brother?
You know, it's not even that women are indecisive about what to eat when they ask you, hey, what do you want? Right? And you're like, oh, I don't know. Like, what do you want? They're like, oh, I don't know. So it's not even that they're indecisive about what to eat. They want you to play this fucked up game of let's describe food to each other so we can eat with words. It's not that they're mad at you for not helping them pick. They're mad at you for not wanting to play and saying, oh, I don't care. Mystery solved, guys. It's not about the food. It's about, hey, let's talk about food so we can enjoy what it sounds like, and then we'll decide what we should eat. Mystery solved. No.
I feel like it's all a ploy to put off sucking dick.
Yeah, like, yeah. Postponement.
12 minutes away from 8 minutes away only frustrates me, not you. You know what?
What?
If you're a vegetarian for any other reason than that you care about animals, you have to be smaller.
What?
Have you seen the size of these vegetarians? Like, bro, dude, if you're telling me that your fucking diet is better than my diet, if it lacks the compassion of, like, I'm not into eating animals, you're not selling me on nothing else. Nothing else.
No. That's all. That's it. That's all right there.
No. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Hey, you know what?
What's that, brother?
If you don't wear a mask, I'm going to recommend you probably wear a muzzle because you're most likely going to be saying some stupid shit about not wanting to wear a mask. So I'm just going to recommend putting on a fucking muzzle instead.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah, if not a mask, a muzzle.
And then we should muzzle, like, take that muzzle and chain it to whatever that little white girl was wearing in Black Snake Moan. Remember how he chained her to literally the radiator? That muzzle's got to be connected to a radiator, and you're only allowed to go 6 feet into the fucking front yard.
To remain socially distant from everybody.
Yeah. That's the rest of you. I love your you know what.
That's funny. That's good. I like that. Okay. That's all right.
You know what? I got two quick ones.
Cool.
All right. We live in an era where people complain about the rights that are being infringed upon?
Yeah.
Well, they're afraid to truly be free.
Continue, expound.
I'm thinking, originally this thought came to mind because of cancel culture. They're afraid to say what the fuck they want to say because of what trouble it can bring their way, you know? Sure. Like, don't fucking tiptoe on eggshells in at least regular everyday life and then fucking complain about your rights being infringed. If you're not fully carpe diem the poon, I don't want to fucking hear that you didn't get your way today. I'm not about it. My last, you know what?
Okay, hear me.
You know what?
What?
You cannot tell me we got to believe all women if we can't listen to that stupid bitch tell us about hydroxychloroquine. And you know what?
Dr. Brix?
I don't know her name. The girl.
Okay, here. Sure.
You also cannot tell me we're all about women being for women if it's boom, fuck Ellen.
Automatic. What does Ellen have to do with women empowerment?
Oh, you haven't seen... Look, oh,
I saw it. I know it's going on, but...
All these women are shitting on Ellen for being the not most compassionate boss. Guess what? I get it. You know how fucking hard you have to work to be on the forefront of gay rights, to lose your show, to come back, to get the number one show in America? How tough it is to be a stand-up female comedian, a stand-up gay female comedian in a world of male comedians? I don't understand, but I can see how fucking hard she must have worked.
That's fair, yeah.
You're going to work hard if you work for her.
That's fair.
The biggest complaint is that she's a tyrant to work for. She wants to stay on top. There's no sexual harassment. There's no racial injustice. None of that. Just that she's mean. You are women empowering women.
I heard there was some sexual harassment going on with one of the producers who... I think he's going to get fired.
Okay, but, yeah, fuck that. What?
But yeah, but Ellen herself, I think you're definitely onto something about her being dictatorish.
We should explore that sexual harassment because he is, in fact, a gay male harassing men.
Okay.
And let me tell you who complains about that is unattractive gay men.
What?
You'll agree with me. Let me finish.
Okay.
As a straight man, when a gay man comes on to you, you can clearly establish the line and walk away like that motherfucker made your day.
That's true. I've experienced that. Okay, that's true.
I love when a gay dude hits on me. But okay. I'm also masculine enough to say, hey, bro, like, I don't swing that way, but I fucking appreciate it. You made my day. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell my wife she almost lost me. Hey, guess what? Victor, back at the gas station, you better act right. You know what I mean? Like, what straight man is out fucking crying that a gay dude hit on him? Because that producer was gay and the sexual harassment claims stem from that.
Interesting.
There's no women being harassed.
I don't know 100% on that, but sure.
So,
nice. Great be women, you know what?
For women, and then hashtag fuck Ellen.
As always, I want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, I want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. And lastly, don't forget there is power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name is Imagine, and that's the Main Man Motion, and we'll see you all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
Hey, dude. I saw a guy wearing an All Lives Matter mask, but his nose was exposed.
That does not surprise me in the slightest.